Amen. What a blessing. Mother-daughters trio. That was good. Appreciate that, ladies. Thank you, Debbie, for playing. She had to hit that first note. I mean, that had to be just right. So everything else would go wrong if she doesn't hit that right note. So anyway, praise the Lord for that. That was a blessing. Very, very good. Amen. And it's good to see Jim and Julie Noble here. I just happened to notice them a little while ago. It's funny, I was thinking about you guys. I've been doing a little studying in the about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and it reminded me of Jim and Julie. I pastored them at Landmark Baptist in Flint, and we had, I think it was a family day. I think we created a day on a Sunday, a special day, to get the Nobles and the Kelseys, Julie's parents, to be there. So we called it a family day in a special Sunday morning, and I preached about the marriage supper of the Lamb, and I preached about how accepting Christ is like getting engaged. And I had been making reference to different couples in the church throughout the service. And I was talking about, you know, the dating process and all of those kind of things, and how God speaks to our heart before we get saved, and conviction and all those different things. And I was making reference to the different couples and everything. And finally I got to accepting Christ and how he asked if you would get saved. And I said, it's just like a proposal. And let's see. Let's find somebody here. Jim and Julie, you come up here. And so they came. She had no idea. Now, Jim obviously had an idea of it. And we had talked about it. But she had no clue. And there's her family. And it was funny because I believe your dad had a video camera. And he's videoing this. And I thought that probably seemed funny to her. But I don't think she figured it out. And I mean, right then and there, Jim falls down on his knee and proposes to her. And it was awesome. And we had thousands saved and millions were in the offering. And it was great. But I was studying that. It reminded me of that. That was sure a blessing. That was a good day. But it's very interesting. This passage of Scripture, I thought last Sunday, I thought that was my July 4th message. And then I was studying Psalm 33 and I realized I have never preached on this verse, never preached on this passage of Scripture. And so as I was reading it and studying it, I just want to talk to you this morning about America. Psalm 33:12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Father, bless the message today. Please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need today. If there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, more than anything, we'd love to see them saved. I know that's what you want. And Lord, I pray that you'll stir our hearts up about our country and help us to be thankful for our country. Help us to be thankful for our God who loves us and who gave us this country, who put us here, who's given us great opportunities. But help us also to realize that there's a danger all around us. And Lord, we see it happening. We see America not being what it once was. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to do our part to win lost people and God to help make America where it's bringing honor and glory to you. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was adopted, announcing separation from England. And in fact, as I think about it, not just England, but any nation, we were free. You know, people said, hey, we're not going to be run by any other nation. And we were free under God. And keep in mind those two words, under God. God's people came to America with that idea. That was the dream. That was the vision. A place where they could worship God, a place where they could be free. And I believe set apart by God, and I'll show you that here in the Scripture. I believe God got a hold of America and God set it apart as a place. God made it as a place where God's word could be proclaimed, where God's message could go out, where people could get saved, and where missionaries could come out of here and literally reach the world for the cause of Christ. And I was thinking of the song, America. You know, God shed his grace on thee. God has shed his grace on America. And God has been so good to this country called America. And this morning, that's the title of the message, America. And we're going to go through this passage and look at the different verses. And just, I think we could tie them into how God has blessed our country. Now, last week I talked about what America needs, and certainly revival, a shaking, the power of God. But this morning I just really want to go over really what I think is a miraculous country called America. The first thing I want you to see is her glory. Number one, her glory. Notice verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation. This nation certainly is blessed. But notice, again, it's the one whose God is the Lord. There are a lot of nations in our world. There are a lot of places, a lot of countries. There are a lot of places where there are lots and lots of people. But there's none like America. Blessed is the nation. I mean, really, people are doing everything they can to try to get here because this is a blessed nation. And that's exactly how it started. God was the Lord. That's what the pilgrims wanted. That's what was being preached and proclaimed. I mean, the pilgrims came here to escape persecution so they could worship, they could serve God, they could spread the gospel. But you know, I think it's even deeper than just going back to those days. I believe with all my heart that we were chosen. Notice what verse 12, it says, "And the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." I understand that's talking about Israel. And I understand many, many times there are references to them being God's chosen people. But I think America also was set apart. It was set aside as a place where people could come and they could worship God. They could preach the Word of God. They could go soul winning door to door. They could run buses. They could serve the Lord and not have to worry about that persecution. And I believe it has been that way and it has been used that way. I'm saying this. I'm saying America is not an accident. I'm saying it wasn't just some people got in a boat and said, "Hey, let's just find some place where we can go." No, I believe God led them to this place so the gospel could be spread, so that people could get saved, so that churches could grow, so that missionaries could go out. And that is why we can talk about her glory. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord. That doesn't happen by accident. That happens on purpose as God's people fan out and tell people how to be saved. And people get saved. And we're in the perfect country to do it. God bless America. Her glory. Number two is her greatness. Her greatness. I want you to see something. In verse 16, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength." I want you to think about America for a minute. It is the only large nation who has never lost a war. Now, I understand, you know, well, we gave up here, we gave up this and that. I'm talking about we've not lost a war. I'm talking about we've never given up an inch of territory except by our own free will. Nobody's conquered us. Our flag has never been lowered in defeat. That's America. Now, why? How can a country be able to say that? How can all the rest of the world kind of look and say, you know, they stand out as being a little different. I mean, they stand out as being a very great nation. They don't lose wars. They don't have to lower their flag. They don't lose their own territory. And the thing about this passage of Scripture, as I was reading this, I got excited because it has nothing to do with our king. It has nothing to do with whoever the president is. It has nothing, oh, you know, we've had great presidents, and we have had great presidents, but it has nothing to do with that. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. It has nothing to do with the king. It has nothing to do with the numbers. That's what it says here. No king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. It's not the king. It's not the numbers. It's not the weapons. It's not the strength. It says in verse 17, "And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength." It's not our weapons. It's not our machinery. It's not our king. It's not our numbers. It's not our wealth. It's not our technology that has made us so strong. It's verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." See, it's not weapons and strength and all those kinds of things. It's the eye of the Lord is upon him. God has made America great because God's great. You see that with Israel. I mean, all these nations come against Israel, and there's little Israel surrounded by enemies and has been for years. And yet they cannot destroy Israel. Why? Because God is watching over them. We've seen it in America. We've watched it in America. People were so shocked when the towers went down in New York City because the enemy's not reached our shores. We fight our battles all on other people's land, not on America's soil. And everybody's shocked. Why? I thought America was great. Well, listen, God has watched over. His eye has been on America. Verse 19, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God's taken care of us. God has made this nation great. It says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Amen. He is. For our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Let Thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in Thee. Hey, it's not our king. It's not our numbers. It's not our weapons. It's not our strength. It's not our technology. It's because God has put America where He put it, and it's because God has watched over America. World wars, God watched over America. Attacks from enemy, Pearl Harbor. If you would study that out, you could see where we could have had, it could have been unbelievable what happened. But God watches over all that. God watches over these things. God knows what the enemy's thinking. God knows what they're about to do. God knows all those kinds of things. It is said of Uzziah in 2 Chronicles 26, the Bible says, he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. You know, when we stop thinking that God did it, we think we're strong enough without God. There was a day. Study the Revolutionary War, folks. Study George Washington. Yeah, I get so tired of liberal politicians talking about, this was never meant to be Christian. This was never meant to have God mentioned. It was always meant to leave God out of it. That is so untrue. Our history books will tell you that the Revolutionary War, a group of people that loved God, took a stand against an enemy that was huge. How did they win those battles? How did they make it through Valley Forge? How did it happen? George Washington will tell you one of these days when you get to heaven. You ask him, and he'll tell you, it was God. It was God. And over the years, her greatness is seen in the fact that God has watched over with His eye this country. God has watched over as enemy after enemy after enemy has done everything they can. Number one, her glory. Number two, her greatness. Number three, her ground. Her ground. Notice verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Let me tell you, this country is no accident. It is no accident. It is not a work of evolution where bubbles all took place one day and bubbled up the United States of America. Hey, let me tell you something. God put everything just like she is because God had a purpose for this country. Her ground. Our land, the land that we have, our climate. We have, I mean, it's unbelievable, the various kinds of climate that is America. You can go to Alaska and freeze to death. You can go to Hawaii and... Anyway, the climate. You can come to Michigan and you never know. The oceans, the lakes, the rivers, everything, the beauty of America. God put all that together for us. Are you listening? Hey, we're not in the middle of some desert in Africa. We're America. We're not in the country of Haiti where there's desolation everywhere. We're America. Oh, let me tell you, and it's no accident. God gave us the Grand Canyon. You know, you hear other countries bragging about it. Well, you know, we have this and we have that and we have the Alps and we have the Rocky Mountains. We have the Smoky Mountains. We have the Grand Canyon. We have Niagara Falls. We have a beautiful, beautiful country. I get so tired of people who gripe and complain. Go somewhere else. Go to Haiti. Go live in Haiti. Go live in some of the countries in Africa where they're starving. India, where they're starving. I'm just saying. God has blessed in such a great way. Her ground, I believe God put together for us. For us. We have natural resources. Always have. Trees. And yes, you're supposed to cut down trees. Well, I don't see why. And as you sit on a tree. Glory to God. I'm so tired of all these people. You know, God gave us all those things so we could use them. God didn't give the trees us. He gave us the trees. Amen. Oh, boy. And oil. Oh, it's here. It is here. Yeah. And there was a day when we knew it was here and we didn't worry about getting it from other people, but now there's politics and everything else involved. But it's here. There's plenty of oil and metals. It's all here. Amen. And food. Look at us. We're the fattest country in the world. We've got it. Amen. Hey, look at verse 9 though. This, I just love it. For he spake and it was done. You know, God in his heart, God knew there would have to be a country. There would be a country where people would love him and people would worship him. And he designed America for those people. I'm not saying there's not Christians in other countries. I'm just saying there had to be a place where churches could rise up, where buses could run, where there would be finances to be able to have those kinds of ministries. And God has given us ground where we can do that, right here in America. And it says, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And there's our United States. Boy, in my mind, I remember memorizing all the states. I remember memorizing all the capitals. And we all know what the United States looks like in our mind as a map. Just like we know about Michigan, you know, with a hand and everything. And I'll hear people say when we first came here, they said, we're from so-and-so. And I say, where's that? And they say, oh, it's in the thumb. And I think, okay. It's in the middle of the hand. Really? Well, that's interesting. But we all know what that means now. And in the United States of America, God, in his mind, he saw it. He saw Maine. Well, as you're looking at it, he saw Maine. And he saw Florida, as you're looking at it. And he saw California over here and put earthquakes there to knock it off someday so it floats away. Amen. The more it keeps getting like it is. I mean, well, anyway. And I know people in California, and I love them. And Alaska, as you're looking at it, or Alaska as I'm looking at it. Anyway. That's as I'm looking at it, Hawaii, or as you're looking at it, Hawaii. And God's given us this ground. Amen. All the natural resources, all the things that we need to be a country that he would bless. And he's put all that there just knowing there would be people come that say, I love you, God. I want to serve you, God. We want to win people, God. Did you know that Pocahontas was one of the first converts from the pilgrims and got baptized, but she heard how to be saved? Are you listening? Every now and then, you know, well, those poor Indians, oh, glory to God, they heard the gospel. You mean poor Indians? You know, it amazes me how we'll get, oh, I feel so sorry. No. They heard the gospel. Amen. Boy, this is good stuff. Her glory, her greatness, her ground. Number 4 is her gold. There's gold in them thar hills. Notice verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. And you know where her gold is, America's gold? Now, I understand we have gold. But it's wealth from doing what God says. From the very, very beginning, work and sacrifice. It's always been about that. You know, it's not the pilgrims came over and they had a silver spoon. You know, oh, you know, you're so-and-so. You're one of the pilgrims. Great, come into our bank. There weren't any banks. They came to a place that there was nothing. They left everything. It's always been about hard work in America. Are you listening to me? America's wealth, America's gold is hard work and sacrifice, just exactly how God said it would have to be. That's how you achieve things. Hard work. That's how things happen. Sacrifice. Of course there's gold in the hills. Somebody had to dig it out. Of course it's fertile land, but somebody had to farm it. Of course we had resources, but somebody had to work to make them work for us. In Genesis, in the very beginning, said man would have to sweat. He'd have to sweat. He'd have to work to achieve. And that's what America, you know, America is a group of people that knew how to work. The Bible says, if you don't work, neither should you what? Eat. It's clear. And everybody understands that. Sort of. The gold of America is our ability to and the knowledge that, hey, all His works are done in truth. God gave us His Word. We know what to do. And it is get out there and work hard. And in America, if you work hard, God blesses. If you work hard, things happen. It is amazing how anybody can make it in America. Now, you're sitting here today, well, I'm not having to work. Get up and work. I understand there's folks going through tough times. But I know folks going through tough times that they're making it. Because they're in America. A poor fella named Thomas Edison. You've heard the name? We use over 1,100 of his inventions today in one form or another. He's just a poor fella. He made it. Do you know that in 1800... there was a suggestion to close the patent office. Now, I'm talking about 1800, because there had been a boom of inventions up until 1800. And they finally said, look, there's nothing else to invent. Do you understand? That was before the automobile, the telephone, the computer, cell phones, any of those things. That was in 1800. They thought they'd invented everything. Guess what? Hard work will get you somewhere. And that's America. Anybody can make it. Anybody. You look at the presidents. Abe Lincoln was a poor man. And John Adams was a poor man. And they became president of the United States of America. Are you listening? But again, it's not because of them. It's because of this. And it's because of the God in heaven that honors His Word. You know, the nation was built on hard work and the principles of the Word of God. The Word of God, every time we stick with this book, God's going to bless. He's going to keep His Word. And you know, countries watch and they say, wow, you know, how? It's just amazing. Hey, we're not the Sudan. Are you listening? We're not some Central American country that's not making it here. Hey, this is America, and it has nothing to do with us being so super ourselves. It is because we have followed a God in heaven that blesses and that keeps His Word, and He always will. He always will. But see, the welfare state is slavery, because it rewards not working. And anytime you reward that which goes against the Word of God, then you're going to have problems. And Americans, you know, own their house, own a car. I mean, it's just the list goes on and on. It's amazing. You talk to people from other countries and you know, you own your own house? You know, we're just renting. We re-rent this little apartment. We always have. I mean, it's just how it's always been. And you own your own house. Yeah, it's just hard work and doing what God says. Her gold is in her ability to follow this book. And the farther and farther we get away from it. And you know, we have generations now. We have several generations without the Bible in school. I'm talking about the public schools. I had the Bible in my public school, my elementary school. We had, every morning, we had a little time. We sat up in the bleachers of the gym, and we had little scripture verses that were on a little card, and we put them on our little card and kept them and glued them on there. I think we pasted them back in those days. Remember paste? And we put them on that little thing, and it was scripture, Bible principle. We're getting away from that, way away from that, so that people don't even have a clue. Hard work. The Word of God. Number five, her goodness. Her goodness. Verse 5, it says, He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And I believe America has been good and God has blessed because of that. America has the wealth and the gold and has for many, 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 many years and has been willing to share that. Bible principles of helping others, defending others, doing right, doing good. The scripture, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. And all of that, America has done that. Now I know, you know, we look around, we say, why are we helping another country? Why are we doing this? Why are we doing that? You know, God looks very, very favorably on people who do what He says in His Word. Now, I understand there's all kinds of corruption out there, and I'm not going to get into all that. I just know that America has come to the defense of many people. And America has come to the help of many people. Let me remind you of this. Righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And I believe God has watched America be good in this world. And again, I understand there's corruption. There was a time, and there have been times, where America as a whole has been good with what God has given them. And we've helped so many others. And we've forgiven so many others. Like Jesus did. You say, well, I'm going to watch them real close. Well, I understand all that. I'm just saying America has done exactly what Jesus did. And righteousness exalteth a nation. But again, we're getting so far away from those kinds of things. We're getting away from it. Her goodness is something that stands out to me. Number six is her government. Her government. You say, oh, this is where it's going to get good. We are a democracy of the people, by the people, for the people. That's how it was established under God. You hear it? Of the people, by the people, for the people. Socialism is of the government, by the government, for the government. That's where we're headed. That is where we're headed. It is socialism is the rule of many by the few. And that is the battle. We must always vote against that. And anything like it. We must always. You say, yeah, but I can make more money that way. Not in the long run, you won't. I promise you, you won't. We, you know, her government has been, and the government, you look at our government and you're going to see Bible all over it. You go to the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, you go to, you know, and look at what these people said, and they're basing our form of government on the Word of God. Well, God's going to bless that. Free speech. We've always had it. We could lose it. Yeah, we've all. I mean, that was one of the key principles. The right to bear arms. I almost put under, with all these G's, her goodness, her government, her guns. But I didn't put that. You've heard of Pack a Pew? One church had a pack. Pack Sunday. Everybody brought their guns. I got to thinking about that, and I thought about our church, and I thought, it'd be really interesting. Uzis, tanks. I am convinced some of you folks have a tank out in your backyard. I'm convinced of that. But you know, in America, that has always been a right. We've had freedom to worship. That's why the pilgrims came. We've had freedom to worship. We've had separation of the church and state, which means nothing what the liberals say it means. They don't have a clue. What's it mean? It means there won't be a state church. It means that there won't be a government church that runs everything that is the only church everybody can go to. No, it means that you have a right to worship. That means that if a church wants to form that worships trees, they can. They can. You say, well, that's a terrible thing. Well, there's people that do that. That means if the Wiccans, who are witches, if they want to have a church, they can in America. Well, I don't agree with, yeah, well, I don't agree with them, but I think in America they can do that. They can. But it also means we can preach and teach and operate the way God tells us to. And until recently, that hasn't been a problem. Certainly in the past, you go back and the circuit riding preachers and the old-fashioned Brush Arbor meetings and revivals and Billy Sunday going in and literally shutting down a town. That was America. No other country. But you see, all of this is under attack. Our government is under attack. Why? Because God has blessed America. Because we're set apart. Because God has used America in a great, great way to win people to Christ all over this world. And Satan hates it. We shouldn't be surprised at these attacks in the government area. We shouldn't be surprised at these attacks in the financial area of our country. We shouldn't be surprised at any of these things. I'm just trying to paint a picture here and show you, you know, how God has really put his hand on this country. Her government. Number seven is her God. Her God. Over the years, there's been preaching, soul winning, missions, circuit riding preachers, bus ministries. I mean, really, in God we trust. In God meant Jehovah God. Big G. Not a little G God. But see, it was a choice in America. We many times, we get painted as, you know, you're trying to force everything down our throat. We're not trying to force anything down anybody's throat. We're just trying to tell you the truth. And then you choose. Are you listening? I mean, seriously, that is what we're about. Look, if anybody says anything to you about Berean Baptist Church, it's all about you make a choice. But I think you ought to have the facts. If you're going to have to choose, okay, somebody says flippantly, I'll just go to hell then. Okay, wait a minute. Let me give you some facts first. Okay, if you're going to make that choice, that's up to you. Let me just at least tell you what hell is. Let me at least show you what heaven is. Okay, when you choose hell, you choose not to go to heaven. Let me at least give you some facts, because you think hell is sitting around with your buddies and drinking beer. That's not what hell is, according to my Bible. My Bible says it's like being thrown into a big old brush fire that never goes out, and it's hotter than that ever was, and it's away from God. That's hell. I'll hear people say, well, hell's here on this earth. Not even close. Not even close. But I just want to show you the difference. Then, I just want to show you somebody loves you. That's all we do. We just want you to say, hey, America, hey, Americans. Somebody does love you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. You're trying to ram it down my... No, I'm just trying to show you that somebody loves you. Jesus loves you. And you know what? For years and years, Americans have been able to do that in America. Because our God is who we want to introduce people to. And as long as God is in his rightful place, God is going to bless America. But more and more people are choosing the little G gods because that's all they hear about. What do you mean little G gods? Oh, like the God of humanism. You know who the God of humanism is? It's you. I'll be honest with you. I am so glad today I don't have to count on me. I am so... Aren't you glad? Look in the mirror after the service is over and try to imagine if you had to count on that person all the time. Isn't it wonderful to have a God you can talk to and pray and he can make things happen, and He can bless, and He can answer prayers, and He can work miracles. And again, people are choosing because God's people are being silent. Let me encourage you about something, folks. We can tell people today. It is legal to tell people. The day is coming when it will be illegal. I'll take my stand. You're not telling people today. What in the world makes you think you will then? They're making it harder and harder to run buses. More and more laws, more and more regulations, more and more codes, more and more foolishness. Amen. I mean, honestly, a drunk runs into the side of a bus, and many children are injured and killed, and who's in trouble for it? The church. Well, we're going to have to put cages on those gas tanks. We're going to have to put seat belts on those seats, or get the higher back seats. We're going to have to do this and this and this. What about the drunk? Well, too many politicians drink. But again, it's so much bigger than all that. It's not just the drunken politician. It's the Satan that says, I hate those buses. I hate what that church is doing. I hate that preaching. I hate that vacation Bible school. I hate all of that. And I hate the fact that people are hearing the truth. Because Satan is the master of deception. He is the liar. Yeah. Her God. We see it bigger and bigger. The God of Islam. That's not God. That's a little G God. You can do your Islamic junk at work. Try to pray at work. Try to read your Bible at work. Well, we can't violate their rights to kneel and pray and all the rigmarole they go through. Yeah. But see, it all comes back to, it is a choice. People make a choice. People made a huge choice in November. Hello? You say, we that wasn't the choice of God. Oh, yes, it was. Yeah, all you have to do is just look at what they're saying. Stay with me now. Don't get nervous. I'm just saying, you look at what they're saying. That is a choice of a God. The pilgrims seeking God, they knew this. They knew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therein is America. They knew that. We don't know that anymore. The small g God of money, wealth, small g God of humanism, small g God, this is a biggie, of pleasure. You know, just do whatever feels good. Right? Well, I'm going to vote for so-and-so because I'm going to get more money. I'm going to vote for so-and-so because they're going to give me health care. Yeah, you watch what they do with health care. You just watch. You just wait. You just wait till you need a procedure and they tell you, well, under this plan, you can't have that procedure. Why not? Well, look how old you are. You just watch. Just watch. Well, we've looked at your life and we just don't think you have a life. We don't think your life is worth as much as their life. You say, where's that all started? Well, that all started when they aborted babies. It's a thinking. It's all about who's God. When you become God, humanism, when money becomes God, when pleasure becomes God, when whatever feels good becomes God, then that's what you run into. America's God, as the people crossed the terrain and the land in wagons, they prayed, they begged God to keep them safe. They begged God to watch over them. They begged God to take care of them. They needed God, her God. Number one, her glory. Number two, her greatness. Number three, her ground. Number four, her gold. Number five, her goodness. Number six, her government. Number seven, her God. And then lastly, number eight is her guilt. What is it, preacher? It's right here in the passage. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. And America's guilt is what God, I think, considers as he looks down now. America has become what Romans said is the beginning of every downfall, and it's unthankful. It's just being unthankful. Neither were they thankful. When is the last time you fell on your face and just thank God for America? I remember we went to Australia, and Australia is a beautiful country. It's beautiful. I mean, we saw, of course, you know, naturally when you're touring someplace, you don't tour their ugly places. Hello? Right? You know, some people need to think every now and then. But I remember when we got back to America. Oh, boy, there's just no place like it. When is the last time you just really thank God for America? When is the last time you prayed for the government officials? Preacher, it's hard. I mean, besides praying that God kills them. I'm talking about really praying for them. Praying that God would reach their hearts. Praying that God would deal with them. When is the last time? See that verse in Proverbs 14, righteousness exalteth a nation. The second part of that is, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin. I mean, it's our sin. When is the last time you wrote to a congressman and said, I don't like what you're doing. I Glenn Herndon, he writes to everybody. He's on every mailing list. And, sometimes, and I won't mention any names, but some of the people he writes to, I'll read the letters they wrote back. Dear Glenn, we appreciate your interest in such and such bill, and we know that it's controversial, and basically they say nothing. What they're thinking is, would you get off my back? You say, well, it didn't do any good. And neither is putting your head in the sand. And you know what? The older you get, neither is saying, well, the next generation has to deal with it. How about us? Doesn't it bother you to see America going the way it's going? Doesn't it bother you just, I mean, come on. The flag. Last public school event I went to, they had the Star Spangled Banner. Not one person, you could not hear a voice. Except mine. Are you listening to me? You know what you could hear? I mean, you couldn't hear the words. You couldn't hear the song. But you could hear people talking. You could hear people laughing. Oh, you could hear all kinds of other noise. But hardly any people stood and put their hand over their heart and sang. Yeah. Now you say, by the way, that's not totally their fault. Did you understand? In the public school, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic. All right, yeah. There's people trying to outlaw that. In fact, I think it is outlawed in some places, especially that one part under God. But it all starts with being unthankful. Wow, this is a great country. Great country. And I understand and I realize and I think it's soon, someday, she'll fall. The Antichrist will take charge over this world. I don't know where America will be. I still personally think that America will be destroyed because I think the rapture will still devastate this country. But you know, we need to do all we can to keep her as the nation whose God is the Lord. You know, Thanksgiving's not Turkey Day. Only turkeys think that's all it's about. It's totally, completely about a group of people that really, really fell on their face and thank God. I was thinking yesterday, all the people lighting firecrackers and fireworks and sparklers, I was just in my mind wondering how many of them even have a clue of what it's all about. Not the drunks. If they had a clue of what it's all about, they wouldn't be drunk. Amen. I wonder what the percentage of folks in America that were doing their thing last night were drunk. So you're being awful hard. No, I just love my country. I love how I grew up, how it's going. But it doesn't have to, because we were set apart, and I believe that. And God's used her in such a great, great way. Let's do our part. You know, when is the last time you talked to someone about Jesus? When's the last time you gave out a gospel tract? That's really the solution. I preached it last week. When is the last time? Because that really is the hope of America. We need to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not man's, not politics, not His righteousness. All these things will be added. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed.